The European debt crisis reaches U.S. banks.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Carbonite Business, providing automatic online backup solutions for small businesses and the computer files they depend on. Learn more and receive a free trial at Carbonite.com with code Marketplace.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. I could start by telling you that Italian and Spanish borrowing costs continued their steady climb to unsustainable levels this morning. But frankly, the euro crisis is no longer about individual countries. As the president of the European Council said today in Brussels, the crisis is now systemic. And there were worrying signs yesterday that it's starting to hit the financial system like it hasn't before, the American financial system. The ratings agency S&P downgraded all of the big U.S. banks in a lowering of credit ratings that hit 37 financial institutions worldwide. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who's live with us from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So how much did Europe factor into these S&P downgrades?
Well, it is a major factor. The downgrades reflect worries about the global economy, and European debt situation is the biggest worry right now. Not the only one. America's political deadlock over the deficit is also a factor, but Europe's the big one. Here's James Angel of Georgetown University.
Clearly, with the situation in Europe right now, with all of the uncertainty and with all the political gridlock in the United States, there is clearly a cloud of uncertainty over the world financial system at the moment.
A cloud of uncertainty over the financial system. And Stephen, we know what that looks like here in the U.S. We can remember back to 3 years ago with Lehman Brothers, but this isn't to that level yet, is it?
Not yet, but it's clear that some large Eurozone banks are extremely vulnerable because of their holdings of Eurozone government debt. If any of these governments default, there is a danger it could tip one or more of these banks over the edge. As we reported yesterday, economists are noticing clear signs of stress from some key indicators. There does appear to be a credit crunch developing in Europe, and that looks ominously like the economic backdrop during the financial crisis of 2008-2009.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, in Washington today, there will be a vote on whether to speed up the process of unionizing businesses. The vote at the National Labor Relations Board is so controversial, however, that a Republican member has threatened to resign so the board won't be able to vote on the measure. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The National Labor Relations Board may seem obscure to you, but it's public enemy number one for the Chamber of Commerce. You notice that when you walk into the chamber's ornate lobby near the White House. I was there recently, early, for an interview. I looked around for something to read. I found a chamber publication headlined, National Labor Relations Board, Small Agency Poses Big Threat. Later, the chamber's labor expert, Michael Eastman, told me the board is doing too much too fast.
But I think this is the most active period we've seen with the most number of controversial decisions in a short time.
Consider the issue of speeding up votes on unionizing. The chamber says employers need more time to persuade workers not to join unions. But the NLRB vote could set aside disputes over which workers can vote in union elections, eliminating delays. Eastman says this is the most activist board in 20 years.
that's silly.
That's Wilma Liebman, a Democrat and former chair of the NLRB. She compares the board to a comatose patient.
The patient woke up in the hospital bed and, you know, started to wiggle its toes. What's happened is the board has come to life.
Cornell labor economist Harry Katz says the board needed to snap out of its coma because today's workplace has changed since the labor law the NLRB enforces was passed. Now rank-and-file employees do more sophisticated work. So Katz says sometimes employers say they're managers and can't vote in union elections.
You know, the law was designed in the 1930s when we had a more typical sharp separation between the production worker on the shop floor and the manager.
Now the question becomes whether bringing the law up to date is activism or keeping up with the times. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, and so are the spirits in Cincinnati. The city just lost the headquarters of the banana company Chiquita to Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks to state incentives of more than $20 million. Chiquita has been headquartered in Cincinnati for 28 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up 32 points to close at 11,555.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Carbonite Business. Carbonite Business is an online automatic backup solution designed specifically for small businesses. Carbonite Business automatically and continually backs up computer files to a secure offsite location. In the event of a hard drive crash, virus, or other computer problem, files can easily be recovered. To learn more about Carbonite Business and to receive a free trial, visit Carbonite.com and use the code Marketplace.
Washington State University fired its football coach yesterday for failing to turn around its program. UCLA also let its coach go this week. Now, these firings have nothing to do with the kind of stuff that's been going on at Syracuse or Penn State. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, those scandals are going to be front and center for any universities looking for new coaches.
It starts with how new coaches are hired.
A lot of this is done informally and perhaps not very transparently.
Raymond Sauer is a sports economist at Clemson University. He says many athletic departments find their coaches through other coaches.
We'll see more thorough background checks
on everyone, trainers, assistants, and head coaches. Many universities may beef up the staff responsible for oversight of athletic programs.
Now schools have to be on alert in an even higher level.
Kenneth Shropshire is the director of the Wharton Sports Business Initiative.
Just because someone has been somewhere for a long time does not mean they should escape scrutiny in issues off the field.
Because the cost of a scandal far outweighs the cost of compliance. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, with record holiday shopping this year, there's also expected to be a lot of shoplifting. And Adweek has a list of the most shoplifted items. Chanel No. 5 perfume is on there, as well as Axe body spray. I guess thieves like to smell good. They also apparently like the Let's Rock Elmo toy. And the most stolen item is stolen from the grocery store. Choice cuts of steak. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.